Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 1. Last week we began a series in the Gospel of Mark, and we plan on continuing on that in Sunday mornings. It won't be every single Sunday mornings, but most Sunday mornings. As we walk through the life of Christ, we presented last Sunday morning in Sunday school about how Mark presents Jesus as a servant, and how he's not a servant of the people, he's a servant of the Lord. But even though we're servants of God, sometimes God calls us to serve people. Here we have him calling some other people to service. It's amazing what you see of the apostles. You see the guys like Peter and James and John and Andrew later on, especially Peter and John in the book of Acts, and you're impressed with them. You see how God's worked in their lives and how they became selfless and they became sacrificial. You can see them doing amazing things. Day of Pentecost, thousands of people get saved. Peter and John go to the temple and there's thousands of people that got saved. And then over and over, you see these men standing as giants in our Bible, and you see how God used them in supernatural ways. And then you see them giving their lives. It's like, wow, that was pretty great. But it all began with something. It began with a calling. It began with accepting God's call for their life. And I believe God has a calling and a purpose for all our lives. And here you're going to see today that Peter and Andrew and James and John, Jesus comes to them and says to them, "Come ye after me." And I like to look at that today, and it's the calling. Now, just like you're going to see in the story of Mark, he goes very quickly. He moves from one subject to another subject to another subject to another subject. There is a length of time between verses 15 and 16. During this time, John the Baptist is the one that we talked about last week. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And then there's a couple of John's disciples that, and you see this in the Gospel of John, that go and spend time with Jesus and follow Jesus. And Andrew's one of those, we believe. And then also later on, Andrew brings Peter to Jesus. And so this is later on. Peter and Andrew, James and John has already spent time with Jesus. They've already heard his teaching. Most believe that they've even seen his first miracle, the changing the water to wine. And here we have Jesus calling these men to a life of service. They already know who he is. They already believe that he's Messiah, but now they're calling him to a life of service. And I like to look at that a little bit. What does it mean when Jesus says, "Come ye after me"? As we consider these apostles, we appreciate their lives. We admire them. We assess what has made them greatly used by God. But are today. That's not what they are today. And that's what you're going to see here today. In these people's lives, we remember Peter as the guy who denied Christ when Jesus was dying on the cross. We think about James and John being the one asking, saying to the master, "We would that you should do something for us whatsoever we should desire." And he said unto them, "What would ye that I should do for you?" And they said unto him, "Grant unto us that we may sit on one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory." So we see that Peter and James and John at the beginning, they weren't someone that was out there preaching messages, and they weren't out there just performing miracles. There was a time of a transition of them answering this call and God making him into a vessel that he could use in such a great and powerful way. And I want you to understand this morning that God's calling all of us. And as he calls all of us, there is a preparation time that God is always still working on us. And even though we admire how Peter looks in Acts, and we admire what John has been able to do, and what James is known for in the first century church, and even though we don't know as much about Andrew, we see Andrew always famous in the Bible for bringing people to Jesus, it was a learning process. It was a growing process. And all of us have been called by God to do something for him. That calling begins as a call for salvation. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the encouragement today is for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He loves you. He died on a cross to pay a sin debt he did not owe. And he died because he was the only one that could take away the sins of the world. And if you're not sure of your eternal home, we'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you what the Bible teaches, that all men are sinners. And that Jesus paid our sin debt for us. And if you would turn to him and believe in him, you can have heaven as your home someday. But here in chapter 1, verse number 16, as we look, it says, "Now as he walked by the area, the Sea of Galilee," it's a beautiful place, seen beautiful pictures. He's walking by and he says he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were there. They were doing their business. They were busy at work. God's work is something that lazy people are not going to ever accomplish. God's calling people here that are working, and it's important that we remember that. Some people, we mentioned in Sunday school class, that sometimes people are super hard workers when it comes to a job, but when it comes to spiritual things, sometimes they become slothful. So be careful about that. Verse 17, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and this next phrase, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after them. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in this passage of Scripture, we see this calling of your disciples, your helpers in the ministry. You saw something in them that they didn't see in themselves. Lord, you probably saw something in them that no one else even saw. We're thankful for the grace that you give us, the ability that you give us to serve you. And Lord, I pray that we see that this morning and we don't let things stop following. Do not let things stop us from following after you. Lord, that we don't look at ourselves and we wonder, how in the world could I ever help win someone to Christ, or how in the world could I ever live the Christian life? Lord, we learn from today and from this lesson and this message that, God, you can do great things in our life as we allow you to. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's some things. The first thing I want you to think about is the principle of the followers. The title of this morning's message is Come Ye After Me, the principle of the followers. Now, in verse 16, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me. That's a phrase I want you to think about. This is the principle. He wanted Simon, Peter, and he wanted Andrew to follow after him. What do you do when you follow someone? You go the way that they're going. You follow their will. If you're following somebody, you're not going to say, okay, I'm going this way. Then no longer are you following them. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus told a number of times, follow after me, take up thy cross, follow me. The purpose is that Jesus wants us to learn his ways. When you're following someone, you're not doing something to follow after them so that way you can learn your own way. You're learning the way that they do that. And when you think about the scriptures, Jesus sees something in Peter. Most of us know who Peter is. He's rough. He always speaks his mind. He puts his foot in his mouth sometimes. He even rebukes Jesus at different times. He's a very passionate individual. Most people that would have known Peter would have never said, hey, Peter, I think you should be the earthly leader of the disciples someday. People would have looked at Peter and shied away from him because he had a big mouth. People would have looked at Peter and thought he was very quick and his temper and things like that, that they wouldn't have used Peter. But Jesus looks at Peter and he sees something in Peter that Peter did not see in himself. He probably saw something in Peter that Peter's wife didn't even see in himself. He probably saw something in Andrew and something in James and something in John that they never even knew that they could become. If he would have went to Peter that day and said, hey, Peter, I want you to come and I want you to follow me for the next 3 years. I want to teach you. I want to train you. I want to give you a message. I want you to watch all these miracles happen. I want you to watch me die on the cross. You're going to deny me. You're going to rebuke me. You're going to forsake me. You're going to go back to fishing. But after all those things happen, then I'm going to have you on the day of Pentecost get up and preach with the other disciples, and you're going to see thousands of people turn to God. If Jesus would have said that to Peter in the middle of the boat, he would have been looking at him and saying, what are you talking about? He says, that sounds crazy. I'll never deny you. I'll never rebuke you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never go back to fishing if you called me. No, he doesn't put all that out there. You know what he tells us to do? He tells us to follow after him. And what is he calling us today? He's calling us to a life of service that begins with walking with God. It begins with following after him. It begins with learning of him. It begins with us understanding what he desires. It begins with trying to seek the mind of Christ. And that is a lifelong journey to know him. and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, as Paul talks about in Philippians chapter number 3. So when he says, come ye after me, it reminds me when he says in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and then he says, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so many times people paint the Christian life as something that is heavy and something that is hard and something that is tough, but Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why is that? It's because Jesus is the one that's willing to do the heavy lifting if we're willing to follow after him. But it's when we choose to do things our own ways and choose to do things in our own flesh and choose to act the way that we've been taught and the ways that we've been shown, the burden becomes heavy. The yoke is no longer easy because we're trying to pull the weight on our own. We're trying to do God's work in our own flesh. It just won't work. That's why Jesus didn't say, hey, Peter, I got a job for you. Go up there and preach to thousands of people. He wasn't ready for it. That's why he didn't tell Peter, hey, I want you to go and I want you to do one of the miracles that he does at the temple. He wasn't ready for it. And the reality is, we're never ready for what God wants us until we're willing to learn of him first. Until we're willing to meet with him and understand his word and understand his purpose for his life. We don't even know how to be the right husband or the right father, the right wife, the right mother, the right type of citizen until we learn it from his word. There's a spot in the Bible, and I'm not going to quote it because I know I'm going to do it wrong, but there's a spot in the book of Romans that talks about, I would not have known it was sin unless the law told me, thou shalt not lust. And he says, thou shalt not covet, excuse me, because Paul was saying there, he says, I never even understood there were certain things wrong until the law showed me something. And we, praise the Lord, we don't live under the law, but we learn. The things are written aforetimes, and we would all agree that coveting is wrong and that lusting is wrong. And the Apostle Paul, that great Christian, was saying, I would have never understood, I would have never learned that unless the Bible told me it was wrong to covet after someone. A few weeks ago on a Super Saturday, I was teaching a lesson and a message to our young people, and I was trying to explain to them and talked about different sins that people do not even know that they're wrong because their flesh so easily does them. You know, the Bible tells us we're supposed to be kind one to another. Not only just kind to the people we like, because everybody does that, we're supposed to be loving our enemies. No clue that I would ever thought that unless the Bible told me that. I would have never thought it was wrong not to forgive someone until the Bible told me to forgive someone. I would never thought it was wrong to treat somebody a certain way or look at someone and think something about that person. I would never even thought that, hey, my thought life needs to be clean until the Bible told me to capture every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. It's in this word we learn of him. It's in this word that we learn what he desires for our hearts and our lives. It's in his word. We went through Romans chapter 12 this morning a little bit with the Sunday school class, and boy, there are things in there that tells you, hey, you should do this and you should do this and you should be kind to your enemies and you should be fervent in your word. And you should not be lazy. And there's a long list of things about how we should treat each other. Not just the people inside our church. It talked about even our enemies at times. I wouldn't know any of that unless the Bible told me that. So what I want to encourage and understand is that when God's calling us to do, he is calling us to learn of him so he can use us in our lives for his honor and for his glory. He's calling for us to learn what it looks like to be a godly man and a godly woman and how to raise our children. Because I know many people are sitting and they're saying, I want to know how to raise my children. And Jesus says, okay, come after me. He says, no. I don't want to follow you. I don't want to do everything you do. I don't want to learn. He says, can you just tell me how that I'm supposed to do this one thing? He says, no. The way you're going to learn how to be successful in your Christian life and successful in what God has planned for you is that we learn of him. And sometimes they're hard and sometimes there's tough lessons. Sometimes they're exciting times. If you can imagine what the disciples went through for those 3.5 years, the roller coaster they went through, people loved them. Masses of people followed after them. And they saw miracle after miracle. They saw dead people raised, but they also saw the Pharisees look at them in disgust. And they also saw people hate them. They went through through all these different things. And he says, Jesus is saying to him, you need to come, you need to learn, because when I'm gone, those exact same things are going to happen to you. And they did. He taught them for those 3 years, and then they teach us through his word, and we learn of him, and we learn from those things that have been written in his word, and we learn what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. But Jesus is calling, and his call for us is, I want you to learn of me. I want you to know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. Don't lean into your own understandings, the Bible says. The Bible says, you know, be not conformed to this world, which means don't let the world dictate how you feel and what you think about him. Jesus says, I want you to come ye after me. Don't say that for somebody else. Don't say that for my husband or my wife or my children. He says, come ye after me. And that was the idea that we need to learn of him. And so if we're following someone, we're going to do what they want. When we follow someone, sometimes it means we're going to separate from someone else. What do you mean? Well, I'm not the greatest at directions. I'm thankful for GPSs until I end up in the middle of a field somewhere and they say, you are here. I said, no, I'm not here. I know, I'm not the greatest at directions because many times I'm not paying attention. Sometimes when people ride, they enjoy all these things. My mind's always going. My mind's always doing things. Many times I'm ministering and work. My wife does most of her driving because I'm always there, always talking, always wanting to do things. So I'm not the best at directions. I'm thankful when someone says, here, turn there. And they had to tell me specifically. But if you're there and you're riding along with somebody and say, you're following car A, and you're in car B, and then you got car C and D. You're there and you're following car A, and car C and D says, hey, I don't think they know where they're going. Let's go and make a right. We're going to go this way. You have a choice right then. Who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the person who initially had called you and say, hey, I know where I'm going, follow me? Or are you going to follow the other people that says, hey, you need to veer off to this way. They're not going the right way. And that's what, when you come and he says, come ye after me, I'm not going to follow after what car B says or car C says or car D says or what my friend says or what my family says. I'm going to learn to follow after Jesus because he's the one that's called me and he's the one that told me to follow after him. Sometimes it means we have to separate from others. And remember, he says, me. Christ is the focus of the calling of disciples. Christ is the one that is the prime example. It is amazing what God was able to do in this person, in these young people's lives. Or they probably weren't young at that point in time, but they were young as believers. Second thing I want you to think about is the principle of following. Are you following after him today? He has a certain purpose and principle for your life. They were going to do his work, and Jesus says, the only way you're going to hit my work is if you do it in my way. Second thing I want you to think about is the promise of the followers, the promise given to the followers, probably better, the promise for the followers is the way. In chapter verse 17, he says, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and read that next phrase with me, and I will make you. Let's read that again. And I will make you. Now, I remember the first time that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about that. God was calling me to preach once again in my life, and I thought God's got a sense of humor. I'm not the greatest speaker in the world. I have a little bit of a speech impediment when I was a child. I get stuck on words. I would say I'm boring in it, but too many people would say amen. All those different things, and then you're there, and I thought, Lord, there's got to be somebody better. And someone showed me this verse, and he says, it's not about what you can make yourself become. It's about what I can make you become. It wasn't about how much Peter could learn and grow from a book. Once again, there's nothing wrong with book learning. We're supposed to learn from the book. He says, I will make you. It's not your job to be make yourself. And that's what the world says. Make yourself this, make yourself that. He says, all I want you to do, he says, I want you to follow after me. I want you to learn of me. I want you to do things my way. And then I can make you what I desire for you. I can make you that person that can stand at Pentecost. I can make you that godly wife or that godly mother. I can make you that individual that can reach people for Christ. Because I know what some people are saying, oh, there is no way I could ever present the gospel to someone. There's no way I could ever tell somebody that they're a sinner. There's no way I could do this, or there's no way I could be a witness, and there's no way I could pray like that, or there's no way I could memorize the Bible, or there's no way. And we make up excuse after excuse after excuse, and we get before the call, follow after me. If we will say, I will follow you, Lord, wherever you send me. And then he says, okay, that's what I need. Because with that attitude, I can make you what I desire you to be. I can make you what you need to be. I know as people say, I struggle with my anger. I struggle with hatred. I struggle with bitterness. I struggle with this. I struggle with that. Follow after him and let him make you. He says, I will make you. That is a promise. If it was somebody saying, hey, I'm going to make myself a millionaire. I'm going to do this. No. He says, God is saying, I will make you something. It's not on us. It's our responsibility to obey. It's our responsibility to follow. It's our responsibility to do those things. He will take care of the making part. But so often we like to get ahead and say, no, there's no way. No way Peter would say, I'm going to go preach in front of all those people. Especially after he had denied Christ. He's like, no. You lost your sight. You lost where you're going for. Focus on me. Follow after me. Learn of me. And I will make you exactly what you need to be. He's the one that has the power. And we would all say we believe God. We would all say that we believe God can do all things. We would all say, yes, God is powerful enough to change that mission and change a maniac and make him a missionary. God is powerful enough to take Saul and make him one of the greatest New Testament Christians to ever live. God is able to make great changes in people's lives. When does that happen? Is when we learn to follow after him. You might say, Pastor, there's no way I could ever do what you do. And you know what? God might not be calling you to that. But if he calls you, he will enable you. The power with the divine task always comes with a calling. And that calling always begins with, follow, come ye after me, or follow me. Next thing I want you to think about is not only the promise, and that's an amazing promise, come ye after me, and I will make you. He's the one that says, I can make it happen. You say, there's no way I could ever be this. You're calling God a liar then. Because he says he can make you this way. He's the one that if the fruit of the Spirit produces the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, you say, there's no way I could be sold out for God. There's no way I could live for God. There's no way. He says, God's able to do anything. He can change things. He can change us. Next thing I want you to see here in verse 17, come ye after me and I will make you fisher. He says, and I will make you to, and what's that next word? Become. So I want you to think about the process. I think sometimes this is skipped over. There's a process involved. There was 3 years involved. And 3 years doesn't seem like a lot, but there was a big change in Peter's life from where he says to him, come ye after me, all the way over to when he's writing 1st and 2nd Peter in the New Testament, when he's talking about persecution. There's a big difference and a change in John's life when he's over here and he's mending his nets to the point where he is willing to give his life. And he writes the book of Revelation. It's amazing the change. And he says, we'll become. The amazing thing is there's a process, and we can't forget that. I think about Acts 4:13. Peter and John are there, and it says that the religious leaders who hated Jesus, who put Jesus to death, says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And that was the change that happened. That was the process. He says, you guys are unlearned, you're ignorant fishermen, but they're speaking the truths of the Word of God with power, with boldness. They were speaking things because the Holy Spirit of God was using them in such a supernatural way. And they're like, what in the world happened? Oh, I know what happened. They're acting like Jesus. They had spent time with Jesus. The time they had spent following after Jesus had changed their lives to the point that they were unrecognizable based off of their past and based off of their history. Wow, that's what I want. I want to become like him. I want to be able to be used in a way that when someone looks and says, man, that Brian Pease is pretty awesome. I want to live a life in a way that they say, you know, that God that changed Brian Pease, boy, he had a lot of work to do. He did something awesome. Not that they glorify my works, that they would glorify the works of my Father which are in heaven, because there's no good thing in me. There's nothing special about me. But all I've done is answer the call of God. And as you answer the call of God, he begins to mold you. He begins to make you. He begins the process that comes along, but it begins over here. And he's calling you. He's saying, will you follow me? Will you come after me? And that what they said, the accusation they made to him, the thing that they said made a difference was they had been with Jesus. That meant that they followed Jesus. They had spent time with him. And spending time with him makes the difference. So the question is, do we spend time with him? I mean, there is a call. And you say, well, Pastor, I've never been called to a specific job title. Okay. That's okay. We have been called to read our Bibles, right? We've been called to pray, haven't we, without ceasing? We've been called to go into the world and preach the gospel. We've been told to follow after him. We've been told to learn about him. There's plenty of things that you don't have to have a certain name on. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Follow Jesus. Get in his word. Learn what he says is right. And if he says it's right, that's what I'm going to do. And there's a process that happens. It comes over time. And it comes as God works and God changes and God molds and God makes. I know some of you have told me your testimony. You're like, I'm not what I used to be. I've heard some people say, hey, I used to be an alcoholic, or I used to be mean, I used to be this, and I used to be that, and there's been a great change in my life. No longer do I do those things that I used to do. And that's thankful. I tell you, sometimes when I go back home, when I meet some of the people that I used to go to school with, I used to hang out with, and they ask me what I'm doing, and I tell my pastor or church, and they kind of chuckle because they think that's the craziest thing they ever heard in their life. And they say, what type of church do you pastor? I says, well, you remember the church we went to and the school we went to? And they said, yes. And I says, we're a little bit more conservative than they were. And they're like, really? And they're shocked because they knew who I was back then. And I'm not saying there's anything special about me, because there isn't. But I'm saying there's something special about God, and he's given me different wants and different desires and different goals in life. How does that happen? It's when we learn to follow after him. It's when we learn of him. You say, Pastor, I can't do that. You can't. That's the point. You follow after him, and he makes you become. And the picture here, the play on words, the fisher of men. You say, Pastor, I can't be that fisher, and I cannot be someone reaching someone else for Christ. He's saying, I want you to follow after him. He'll take care of the I will make you. So there is a process. I want you to see here, the next thing is the promptness. The promptness. I know some people would be here and say, Pastor, that's great, that's wonderful, but maybe tomorrow. Maybe when I get to a certain stage in my life, maybe if you're a young person, maybe when I get out of school, I'll do it. Maybe when I get a family, I'll do it. Maybe when I have children, I'll do it. Maybe when I have grandchildren. Look at the promptness that happens here in verse 18. It says, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Go down to verse number 20. It says, and straightway he called them and they left their father. It was a promptness. It was not something they put off. It was not something that they turned around and said, hey, maybe sometime in the future. No. It was a straightaway they forsook it. There was no delay obeying Christ's calling. Promptness is the only way to respond to a divine command. Delay is disobedience. So if God's speaking to your heart, it's not, hey, tomorrow. It's no. He says, I want you to learn of me today. Don't push it off to tomorrow, because tomorrow is never going to happen. Don't procrastinate in serving the Lord. There's a promptness that's there. Last but not least, the price of the followers. The price of the followers. You say, what in the world do you mean the price? What did they have to give up? Well, when you serve the Lord, as we mentioned earlier, sometimes there's things that you have to leave behind. Here in this story, you see Peter and Andrew, James and John, they leave their family. You see it in verse number 19, it says, verse number 20, straightway he called them and he left their father Zebedee. You know, they had to leave their father behind. That God, Jesus had a certain call on their life. He wanted these to come with him, to learn of him, so that way they could impact the world. Zebedee could have been a follower of Jesus too, but it's a disciple of Jesus Christ. What does a disciple mean? A disciple means that they learn from their teacher. Some people say, hey, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, but you're not learning from your teacher. Here, he's there, he calls them, he says he left his family behind. Obviously, we're not talking about shirking your responsibility as a family member. Obviously, that would go against Scripture. But he was willing to say following Christ was more important than any relationship he had. Could you say that today? Following Jesus Christ is more important than any relationship I have. That's going to help you be a better husband, better father, better mother, better wife. But when you learn of him, he's going to teach you how to be a better this. Not only does he, you see him leaving his family behind, you see him also leaving his friends behind. Oh, you say, well, friends, where do you get that in verse 20? Verse 20, it says that he left his father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants. These, you say, well, they're servants. Okay, well, if you work with somebody, you worked with somebody for a while, I would think friends, but he's leaving behind people working for him. I mean, that's pretty nice. And he's saying, I'm leaving behind my family. I'm leaving behind this opportunity I have to fellowship with these guys in order to follow Christ. And then you think about it, the next thing he leaves behind is their fortune. Now, we're just using it for the little letter F's in a row because we don't know how wealthy they were. But if they had hired servants and they had boats and they had nets and they were leaving behind what they knew, their future. They were leaving that behind. They were leaving the things that they were basing their future on, their fortune, the things that they had, the things that was stable, the things that made them who they were. It says, and they immediately left to follow after him. Why would they do that? It's because they believed that he was the Messiah. They believed he was the Christ they had been looking for all those years. They believed that he was God. And you say, Pastor, you're saying that I'm supposed to follow after Jesus, even if it means I got to make my relationship with him more important than my family and even more important than my friends and even more important than my future and my fortune. The answer is yes. That's the call that God has, because once you learn of him and once you follow after him, the family and the right friends and the future and whatever God desires to give you, all those things will be what he desires for you instead of those things we desire for ourselves. They forsook their nets. These disciples gave up their business. I'm sure they had invested in those ships, and I'm sure they had invested in those nets. I'm sure as a child that they spent year after year investing into that business, never to go back to it ever again. You think about that. You know, where did they go from here? Yes, they went back for a little while, and maybe they even did some at different times when they had times that were laid off from following Jesus or other times, but they went to build the church. They went to the Acts. You don't see them going back to fishing. You see them giving their life for the cause of Christ. You see many times in that tradition, in that time period, what were they doing? They were cast out of their families at times. People would not buy things from them if they were believers and Christians, if they followed Jesus Christ. There was great loss. They were willing to say, all this stuff I'm willing to leave behind because he told me, I want you to call me. I want you to follow after me. So today, do you believe he's God? Because if you believe he's God, if he has a calling for us, we should follow after him. So I want to encourage you today. How are we doing with the come ye after me? Because he desires that. That's a calling. You said that's for those four. No, it's a calling for all of us. Because he says, come unto me. Over and over in the scripture, he says, follow me. Take up thy cross and follow after me. He is a following, and that following is to learn of him. So, thought-provoking questions for the day. What are thought-provoking questions? Questions that you're supposed to take and consider. How am I doing with following after Christ? Okay. Yeah, I go to church. I read my Bible. Praise the Lord. We're supposed to do those things. How much am I learning from him? Okay. I learned a lot last week, and I learned this, and this. Okay. Now, let's put that in practice. As a disciple is someone who learns of him. As a disciple is someone who begins to act and looked like their master, their teacher. They looked at John and Peter and said, I know what's different about them. They spent time with Jesus. They're acting like Jesus. They were called Christians first in Antioch. Why is that? Because they acted like him. Why would they ever act like someone? It's because they learned it from them. We won't call it an argument. You ever get in a discussion with your husband or wife? Some people call them arguments. One of the things that sometimes is said, you act just like your father. You act just like your mother. Why is that? It's because there's some characteristics in your life that you learn from them. Sometimes they're good. My dad taught me to be very disciplined when it came to work. taught me how to make sure I give it honest day work for an honest day pay and different things like that, and better not be late and all those different things he drilled into my mind as a child. Taught me a lot of good things. But there are some other things I learned from my dad that I probably wished I wouldn't have. Some different things that he might say or do. And my dad's a great guy. But there are some things that my wife could say if she wanted to. You act just like your dad when it comes to something. And we learn that. We joke, and husbands and wives look at each other and say, yeah, you do act like your mom sometime, or you do act like your dad. Would someone say, the way you're acting, that looks like Jesus. That looks like Christ. That looks like you learned it from him. That's what they were saying about John and Peter. They had spent time with him. And because they had spent time with him, they had the boldness that Jesus had. They could not answer John and Peter because they were spirit-filled. That's what I want. You learned that from them. When we act fleshly and ugly, no one's looking at you and saying, oh, you learned that from Jesus. They're not. We did learn it from somebody, somewhere. Maybe it was mom and dad. Maybe it was a friend that we need to get rid of. Maybe it was from something or another, or TV. You learned it from somewhere. And we're following after somebody today. But Jesus says, and it's the same calling, ye come after me. Come ye after me. I want you to follow me. Then he says, I'll take care of the power. I'll take care of the ability. All you have to do is be willing to follow after me. Do it immediately. Now, you say, it all turned out perfect, didn't it? It all turned out great. Every one of them that were a disciple, that became an apostle, gave their life for the cause of Christ, except for maybe John. We're not still 100% sure. They tried to kill him, but he came out of the pit of oil, or whatever it was, what tradition tells us, and he wrote that book, and they gave their lives for the cause of Christ. And was that a great way to end? They followed after Christ. And sometimes it is following him into martyrdom. But they could have stopped anytime they wanted to. But they learned something. They learned it was important enough to follow after him, even if it means becoming obedient unto death. And as it says in Philippians 2, even the death of the cross. Today, I want to encourage you to follow after him. He's worth it. He's God. He deserves it. If you're here today and don't know Christ as your Savior, let us introduce you to a God that you can know personally and that can change your life and change your eternal destiny. We'd love to show you from the Bible how that can happen. Let's pray.